The good news of God's love according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, when Jesus heard about the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were well filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The Gospel of Matthew has had a lot to say about how the kingdom of God is very different from the kingdoms of this world. The book begins with a genealogy that traces Jesus back to Abraham and emphasizes that through his father Joseph, Jesus is a direct descendant of King David and of all the kings who ruled Judah before its conquest by the armies of Babylon. And then we are introduced to King Herod the Great, who rules over Judea and Galilee when Jesus is born, and who, in an attempt to eliminate any other king of the Jews, had all of the children in and around Bethlehem killed. When Jesus is an adult, he's baptized in the Jordan River by a man named John, a man who is proclaiming that the kingdom of God is coming near. When John is arrested by the son of Herod the Great for speaking some inconvenient truths, that's when Jesus begins his public ministry in Galilee by teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. It's just after Jesus has presented a series of parables that tell how God's kingdom offers life and blessing to everyone. That's when he learns that Herod has been manipulated into having John the Baptist killed. Jesus really wants some time alone to grieve, to plan for the next phase of his own ministry. But he is once again confronted by people who have been abused and exploited by the brutal and oppressive kingdoms of this world. So he demonstrates the values of God's kingdom by healing them and by feeding them. We are not told how he feeds more than 5,000 people. What we are told is that in his hands, scarcity becomes an abundance that satisfies the hungers of all. Is it bread that satisfies them, or is it something more? Jesus wants people to have the tangible experience of what is described in Psalm 145, the sure and steadfast love of God. The psalm teaches that God loves everyone, not because anyone deserves it, but simply because it is in God's nature to love. God is good to all. God doesn't only help some of the people who fall down, the Lord upholds all those who fall. God doesn't just provide food for some. God satisfies the desire of every living thing. Everything that God does is righteous and loving, and God is righteous and loving to everything and to everyone. Now, it's real easy to hold on to promises like that when everything is going your way. It's harder to believe when you are oppressed or driven into exile from your home. Like Jesus, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah offers free food to poor people who are hungry. When the Babylonian Empire conquered the tiny kingdom of Judah, it destroyed the city of Jerusalem and its temple dedicated to God, and it took the brightest and best of the people into exile. When that empire was then conquered by Persia, the descendants of the original exiles were invited to go back and reestablish their homeland. The ministry of the prophet Isaiah changed from warning people about God's judgment to announcing that the time of judgment was over and the time of restoration and renewal was beginning. God had never abandoned the people, and God still had big plans for them. Those plans are announced with the metaphor of a feast of rich food and drink set before the people and the invitation to listen so that you may live. This short passage that we had from Isaiah is very similar to one we find in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She calls from the highest places in the town, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight." The feast that God is offering is relationship. A life-giving relationship with God is the food that truly satisfies and that which the people desperately need. It's in this context that God speaks of the covenant agreement made centuries before with King David, an agreement that is now being expanded to embrace all of the returning exiles. God's steadfast love for David will now be experienced by everyone who entrusts themselves to God. And through them, blessing will then come to all the nations on earth. Now, one way that this happens is because Jesus chooses to be born as a Jewish man during another time when the Jewish people are oppressed and exploited by a foreign empire. Even though his people have waited centuries for their promised Savior, they're going to struggle to see him in this wonder-working rabbi who, just like John the Baptist, is going to get himself arrested and put to death. The Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans begins by celebrating the gospel, the good news of God's love that offers salvation to all people, both Jewish people and non-Jewish people. Paul was called to bring this gospel to the non-Jewish people of the Roman Empire. He knew other people were called to bring it to his fellow Jews. In his writing, Paul emphasizes that all people sin and fall short of God's glory. All people need God to step in and bring us salvation. But Paul is mystified by what he is witnessing. It causes him great sorrow and unceasing anguish that his people, the people who have centuries of relationship with God, don't yet recognize that Jesus is the fulfillment of every promise God ever made to them. He doesn't say that they had and lost God's adoption and glory and law and promises. He says they have them now and they will always have them. They will always have a central role in God's plan to bring blessing to all of humanity. Paul never says that God is replacing them with the Christian church. None of us ever deserves to be saved from the power of sin and death. It is God's gift to us, and Paul is certain that God will save all of us from sin and death together. The way Jesus satisfies our deepest hunger isn't by feeding us bread. He does it by suffering and dying, so that we can be set free from the power of suffering and death. Which is why, on the night when one of his own followers will betray him to the authorities, Jesus will do the same thing he does for crowds of people out in the wilderness. He will take some bread, bless it, break it, and give it to his disciples. Because the blessings God offers one person are always meant to be shared with others, until the bread of life is shared with all and the hungers of all are completely satisfied.